Hi, I'm Sarah Lawson. I'm the owner of S&H Construction in Belmont, Massachusetts.
And I'm Bruce Irving. I'm a home renovation consultant and a real estate agent in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Welcome to Builder's Notebook. Bruce, how are you doing?
What? No, I'm just kidding. I'm fine. I'm thinking about my now departed, but dearly so, folks, yeah. Who we took on this very topic that we're about to take on, mm-hmm. When they were living on their own.
Yeah.
And accessibility is a big deal, mm-hmm. especially as this very large generation ages.
Yes.
What do you got?
Well, my parents, who are still alive, mm-hmm. we definitely have been dealing with this in their different houses. They're married to other people now, mm-hmm. so we have two houses involved. But it's interesting because it's a question of what makes it safer, but it's also a question of what makes it easier to use and also nice to live in. Mm-hmm. And that tension is just really interesting because my parents don't want, you know, ugly grab bars all over the place. And
I
so
see.
Just trying to figure out
a visual reminder of their increasing agedness.
Well, it's not that good looking. So
well,
we're going to talk about
maybe
that
our guest
today.
Will
so.
Help us with that, yeah.
And our guests. We are talking today to Josh Safdie. He's the managing principal at KMA Architecture and Accessibility, and they're based in Newton.
Interesting that they would put accessibility smack dab in the name.
Exactly. We've done projects for him. I mean, I did projects with him a long time ago. Uh-huh. He's really experienced in the field, really nice guy, so I'm really interested to see what he has to say.
Me too.
Josh, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate you coming to talk about aging in place.
Yep.
And
I'm doing it right now.
What?
Aging in place.
Oh.
See over here? Help me, Josh.
You think I'd get his jokes faster by now.
They're not very funny. How long has that company been going of yours?
KMA has been around since before the passage of the ADA, late 80s, early 90s. The original founders started it.
Yes. When did you add and accessibility to the title?
They have always focused on accessibility. The thing that actually was added when I joined about 8 years ago was architectural design services.
Oh, the other way around.
Yeah,
got
prior
it.
To that, it
got
had been it. Just a consulting firm.
Huh. So when did aging in place sort of emerge for the company as a specific focus?
I think there was interest in it even before I joined, but mm-hmm. again, because we weren't offering design services,
right.
it was sort of a limited, you know, capacity. Mm-hmm. But you know, certainly the idea of aging in place had already started to catch on
yes.
before I joined KMA, which was 2014. So, mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if when you think about aging in place and just defining it a little bit more, because I think about, you know, the safety, usability, and beauty. And I'm wondering how you sort of weigh those things and what you think of aging in place in terms of how would you define it?
I think those are all pieces of it, particularly in a single family residential context. You know, there are people who do this work every day who are starting to talk about aging in community as opposed to aging in place.
And, yes.
And I think that's a really important piece of it as
yes.
well, right? You know, the idea that you're, and I have all these quotes swimming around in my head from colleagues, and I should be able to attribute them, but I can't. But, you know, the idea that your home shouldn't be the thing that tells you when it's time to leave home, right? Because leaving home also means leaving your doctor, your grocer, your laundromat, your cousins, your neighbors, you know.
Yeah.
All this community and all this infrastructure that is really important and becomes more and more important as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to pull this apart? Because there's the traditional aging in place in a single family, and then there's this new idea that you bruited, which is aging in community.
So I didn't actually mean to suggest that they're different. But I think, you know, put it this way, if you're able to age in place, which mm-hmm. might mean grow older and begin to experience functional limitations, mm-hmm. right, which we all will.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to do that in your home where you already live, then by definition, you're remaining in your community.
Ah, got it. I see. So it's really, you're sort of adding nuance to an old traditional phrase by pointing out that the home in the aging in place is actually part of a context.
Exactly.
Which is super important as you age.
I was just wondering if traditionally you think of aging in place as staying in the house that you've been in. But as that house might be good for three kids and you know, is there thinking that maybe just being in a house that has to be maintained, single family, isn't a good idea? And this idea of making communities where that overhead upkeep is less.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an important consideration also. I mean, ultimately, aging in place is an idea that becomes very personal when an individual takes it on, right? So, you know, for some folks, the importance of memories where you raised children or, you know, that kind of thing might be important enough that you say, yeah, I have a 3,000 square foot house and I have four bedrooms upstairs that really aren't going to get used except maybe every other Thanksgiving.
Right.
And, you know, people are okay with that, you know, and there's energy considerations and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, and then I think for other, you know, for clients of ours, sometimes it's, I want to age in place. I know that this isn't the home. And so how can we find a home that's either already set up for it or that we know we can renovate and make it the place that I can stay?
Well, so can you start talking about the things that you do to make it so it's suitable for aging in place?
Sure. I mean, probably the most important thing, particularly if you're thinking about looking for a house where you want to age in place, you know, the baseline is mobility, right? Because that's often the first thing that will become limited in a way that it starts to impact your sort of daily living, right? And so, you know, a house with eight or nine risers up to the front porch is going to be much harder to make accessible from a mobility standpoint than one which is two or three risers up to the main floor. Right? So that's sort of a fundamental line. And then after that, I think really adaptability over time is important, right? You may want features in the house later in life, right, that you don't need right now.
Like what?
Could be things like you'd prefer to sleep upstairs, right, in traditional American homes. That's generally how we do it in a single-family home. But the ability to move to the downstairs and to live all on one floor, right, would be important. So that could be a sunroom, a dining room, something like that, and maybe you renovate it when you move in so that it's already set up. Maybe you add a full bath on the floor when you move in. Or maybe you just think it through enough to know that that is a possibility in the future.
You know, it's interesting because some of it is, you know, walking up those three steps, you know, if you can do it, great. But there's also the carrying the groceries up those three steps. And in terms of sort of ease of use, I like to think of it as not so much what you're not going to be able to do, but do you want to do it?
Yeah.
And how you can make the house more sort of ease of use. I mean, I would think about things like how big the font is on the do I have to get my reading glasses to figure out the stove? So that whole ease of use part, is that part of it, or is it more, as you said, mobility being, of course, number one?
I mean, I think, yes, it's definitely part of it. And I think mobility is kind of that baseline. And you know, mobility, and so there are seven principles of universal design, which is a philosophy of design which is related closely to aging in place. One of them is ease of use, right? Another one is size and space for approach and use, right? Which is really, take a bathroom, for example. Do you have room in that bathroom to get in there on crutches or with a walker or in a wheelchair? Or with somebody helping you, whether, whether it's a professional PCA or whether it's just your spouse.
Right.
And so there are those kind of baseline things about the size and space you're going to need to take up as you age, right? And those are the things that require serious interventions to change if they're not working now. Something like changing out your, you know, your range fan, right, or your hood, you know, for something that's easier to use. That's a much easier kind of process, right?
Yeah, because you're not moving walls.
Right, you and it could be done incrementally, right? So, you know, in some ways you want to think about what are the big moves that I need to make.
Right. Well, so keep talking about the big moves. I mean, I really want to hear more examples.
Well, another big move is putting in accessible vertical circulation or not, right? You know, do you want to be able to, so in other words, I have a four-bedroom house. There's three bedrooms upstairs. There's a room I can, you know, downstairs that's a bedroom. I could live on one floor if I want. I renovated the bathroom when I got in, and I put in a roll-in shower. But I'm not sure if I actually want to limit myself to just living on the first floor for the rest of my time in this house as I get older, right? So I could look at installing a home elevator, a residential mm-hmm. elevator, or just a platform lift, right, which has its own shaft but isn't a cab that you move up and down.
Right.
It's a platform that moves up and down inside a shaft.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, we put in a lot of those, I have to say. People who are moving, you know, empty nesters who are coming back to the city, more times than not, they're putting an elevator in.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that after we either dismiss, giggle, or otherwise embrace the stair chair thing.
I would dismiss it. Yes, and if you want to giggle, that's fine. But
it's
yeah.
And
it's
can
a
you explain
killer.
Why it's yeah. Not? Because it's, of course, the marketing is intense.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell.
Because it's not, it's going down.
I can tell a story that's illustrative.
Yes.
We put in a platform lift for a woman in her 50s in Brookline who had been living with MS for 30 years. Well, really for 50 years, but diagnosed for 30 years, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, MS is like many forms of disability. It's not static. Mm. Some days are worse, some days are better, some months are worse, some months are better, right? Mm-hmm. And so she lived in a two-story split level. Right, so basically it's a two-story house that had four different floor plates.
Oh, yeah. Thanks
yes,
a lot,
yeah,
guys.
I know.
And she, over the years, you know, had first put in this stair chair and then that one and then that one. And it seemed really simple because each of them was just five or six risers to get up to the
yes.
next floor plate, right?
Yes.
So what people sometimes don't think about is if you have four levels, which means you have three stair chairs connecting, means you need four wheelchairs.
Oh.
Right, because the wheelchair doesn't come up the stair chair with you.
Oh, gosh.
Right? Mm. And so, you know, so that's sort of a baseline of it. You know, you can't bring your personal mobility device with you and the stair chair. You can just bring yourself. And it's hard to bring your groceries, and you certainly can't
right.
bring your grandchild.
Right.
Right. And so so they're very limiting. And the other piece of it is that they can become, as your balance, dexterity, you know, et cetera, become more limited, they're often a place where falls happen, is getting in or out of them.
I'm interested to note that you're not saying, and they're ugly.
They
are there good-looking ones?
Not that I know of, no. But, you know.
Let's go back then to the things that it sounds like you like, which are these platform lifts or elevators. I have to tell you, I don't know what a platform lift is. Mm. What is it?
So it's from the... If you're in the hallway about to get into it, you can't necessarily tell the difference between a platform lift and a residential elevator. Either way, you're opening a door, right, which has a passage set, and it might be a five-panel door just like the rest of them in your early 20th century home. You open it, and an elevator is a full cab.
It has
light in it.
It's a box that moves up and down. This is a flat thing that goes up a shaft.
And it has sides and a rail. And then it's manually, it has a button that you push to go up, push to go down.
Got it.
And they're smaller footprint, too, so you can get them in.
Yes. Yep.
So let's see if people should have hope about this, because it's, you know, to an average person, you're like, putting an elevator into my home is going to, A, ruin me, and B, destroy the house, or whatever. Tell me about the money and the physical undertaking.
So to purchase one is, you know, in the $30,000 to $40,000 range.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Not outrageous, but, you know, certainly an expense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the construction, of course, is variable. You know, we're actually doing one in Somerville right around the corner from my house right now. And in older homes, it's that much more challenging.
Yeah.
What are the dimensions that you need?
Just enough room between the stair and the dining room is what we found. No, it was 54, I think, is what we needed in that particular location.
Yeah, 54 width.
Yeah, so that's clear in the shaft.
Yeah.
Right? So it's bigger than a closet typically, right? But it's certainly something that, you know, if you don't have this kind of interstitial space that you could find within a hallway or something, it's something that could come out of a corner of a room, sort of like the way that people put a half bathroom.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
But also back stairs are heaven sent.
Yes.
And I would say from a real estate point of view, it's going to be an asset for the next buyer.
Yeah.
Even if it's premature, you know, for a young family where the kids can have fun and get crushed in it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm serious.
It's
an amenity that people may start to really expect more of.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, my experience in the 16 years that I've been doing just accessibility work as an architect, these kinds of features have really become selling points. I mean, you look at any listing and you'll see, you know, it has a first floor bedroom, which could be convertible. People get it now, and they didn't get it 20 years ago.
We've been selling, and we're very excited because we're going to bring one on with an elevator.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I cannot wait to see how and if that sells it.
Let us know.
I will.
Because we'll be using that to talk to our customers about it. Mm. I wanted to ask about just danger. And what are the sort of three most dangerous things that are in a house you're trying to solve?
The classic things that you look for.
I'd say the first is actually not even what's in the house, but it's getting into the house.
Okay.
Right? So you think about, you know, particularly New England, you know, you think about weather, you think about wet leaves, ice, snow, et cetera.
Right.
You know, so obviously it's the negotiation in the dark, holding bags, finding your keys, going up and downstairs.
How do you deal with that? What can you do?
You know, lighting for certain. An entrance which has a cover. Right,
yes.
So that you hopefully aren't dealing with as many leaves, ice, et cetera.
When you're fumbling.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a room either for a bench that you can set things down on or having something that, you know, is built in and permanently there.
Yes.
You know, it always comes back to room in some ways.
Yes,
you
know? Yeah, interesting.
That's what I'm really picking up from this is that as you age, you actually take up, even though you're shrinking, you take up more space or you need more space.
Yes. Yes,
and
so
you and your helper, be it a mechanical or a person item. Okay, that's one thing. What is
so
another
one,
classic
and
thing
then
to
I think,
look
you know,
at
the
for?
Obvious ones are kitchens and bathrooms, right? Because they're the spaces that are the most complex from a design and function standpoint, and where you're more likely either, you know, in the bathroom, you're changing positions a lot, right? And there's the presence of water, potentially.
Yes.
In kitchens, you're focusing on other things. Right, and so there's sort of the distraction of, and then, you know, also the carrying of, you know, turkeys or, you know, other.
So what can you do to make a kitchen more safe?
So kitchens, there are things you can do like having continuous countertops that would allow you, if you need to slide
oh,
heavy things from one place to another.
Yeah.
Really thinking carefully about set down spaces, for example, adjacent to a cooktop or a range.
So you're not juggling across to the island type of thing. Yeah.
A nice place, you know, a place to put down your bags of groceries that's right next to the, you know, the handle side of the refrigerator. Mm. You know, those kinds of things make a big difference.
These are all things that younger people would like too.
I mean, just
in terms of the ease of use. So what about bathrooms? How do you make them safer?
So again, biggest thing is, you know, space. Although interestingly, you know, we have gotten feedback from a number of our clients that say, you know, a tighter bathroom actually can be good for me because I'm holding on.
Yes,
I
right.
see.
That's
right.
a good point.
Yeah, you know, similar to the toddler who's couch surfing or you
right.
can find their way all the way around.
Oh,
the
so interesting.
Room.
We're going in an arc, aren't we?
From baby to baby,
yes.
right? That's what
you
they
need
say.
Some grandchildren. Oh, my goodness.
I'm feeling for myself, man. I have to throw in just quickly, rugs strike me as a real thing to keep your mom and dad
aware
of.
So, you know, particularly area rugs, right?
Area
that, you know,
rugs,
where you could, a corner can turn up and that kind of thing. It doesn't mean don't do it. It just means be mindful of it.
Mm.
Or tape down the corners.
You could tape
down
the corners.
You know, it's interesting because my mother and stepfather lived in New Mexico. They've since moved back here because they had a house and farm animals. It was a big scene. But anyway, they had thresholds that weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
They had transitions between floor types that weren't good. And it just, every time I was out there, I was like, give me some tools. Because it just, that to me was, you know, in New England houses, we do have thresholds and we do have a lot of fun. And don't even talk about the switch in elevation where there's between floor types, which shouldn't be in good construction.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of houses, it is.
Sure, and particularly because, you know, you've got five layers of flooring in the bathroom and the kitchen,
right.
and you're, you know, and no one has worried about bringing that back to, you know, level.
How do you level things out?
Well, they have these scrapers.
I mean, a blowtorch. Oh, you're not allowed to use those anymore.
Are there ways to shave down thresholds?
Yes.
But the idea being.
Yeah, that everything's flush. I mean, I'm
and failing flush, is it possible to make very, very gentle transitions?
Of course.
Using some kind of scrim or something.
And a half inch change in level is generally considered to be navigable or passable for someone who's using, you know, a wheeled device of different kinds. We're working actually on a house up in Montville, Maine right now, which is going to be an aging in place project. And it's an old farmhouse that is 4 inches out of plumb in the kitchen from one corner
to
the other.
Oh, gosh.
Right? And rather than trying to sister all those floor joists and resettle that foundation and blah, 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 we're, you know, the builder there is going to lay a new floor down and fur it. And what we're basically doing
that means
is,
make it a little thicker on one end and less thick on the other
end. Exactly.
That's what furring means, is adding some material to the top of the floor.
Yes. And the way that we're then fixing that connection to the rest of the house, where they're not picking up the floor, is simply at the end of a line of cabinets, which is where the door into the next room is, we're building a wing wall, right?
So the end panel of
the refrigerator, there's actually a short wall next to it, just
as deep
as the refrigerator.
Okay, I have to translate this. All that means is that, you know, if you all of a sudden raise up one side of a floor to make it so it's at level in the room, you can all of a sudden make it so it's 2 inches higher than the next room. So in order to fix that, they built sort of a short wall, like a half wall, and made it so that that weirdly high floor ran into that and you couldn't see it.
No, actually.
There
we go. Tell me what it did.
You still got a drop.
So what we did then is along that wall, we built a tiny ramp.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that way the ramp does not become some kind of a tripping hazard in the room.
Yes.
It dies into one side of it dies into the aforementioned short wall.
Close. I was close.
Yeah. Hey, are there any funds available for people to proactively retrofit?
They're limited as far as I know.
That's another way of saying no, Bruce, but thanks for asking.
Yeah.
There is the Mass Rehab Commission does administer a home modification loan program, which is a great program, and I've worked with the folks there in the past. It's an income qualified, but last time I was involved with it, it was up to $30,000 interest free for residents who need a disability related modification made in the home.
So it's a interest free loan.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily in preparation for being older. It's if you have a current disability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can
I ask the question about ugliness? Because that's what I am thinking about the most when I think about, that's the part that gets me, is how can I make, thinking about my own house, let's talk about me, in terms of making it so it doesn't jump out in a way that these pieces, I mean, you could make a grab bar that was attractive. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be ugly. It can be something maybe more sort of finer. But tell me how you deal with that. Do most people, are they concerned about it? Like they want these things to be sort of hidden?
Yeah.
And so what do you do?
So I think there's two answers. Part of it is in any kind of accessibility modification, whether it's for you need it right now or you're going to need it, you think you might need it, or you know you probably will need it, you know, down the road. If you plan for things all at once, then things don't have to get tacked on,
just blocking,
shoved in,
right?
And that way, it things don't stick out and they're not ugly because they're more integrated into the overall design and system.
Yeah, right.
Like any good design.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think if I can try to translate again, even though it didn't go so well last time, blocking is the pieces of wood that you put in the wall behind the plaster wall so that there's something to attach the grab bar to. Mm-hmm. So you plan ahead for that. That doesn't mean you have to put the grab bar on then, but you've got the wall ready.
Josh, you said there were two things?
Yeah, and so the other one would be, would be looking for products that may not be marketed as safety equipment or durable medical equipment or that kind of thing, but which can serve the same purpose.
Like what?
So actually, this isn't a product, the first thing that comes to my mind, but building in, a tiled-in seat in a shower, right, can look much more attractive than putting one of those plastic and aluminum shower chairs.
Yes, sure.
Got it.
So that's, that's one example, but, there are plenty of them. And, there are products on the market as well. For example, vanity tops for bathrooms that have integrated grab bars.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So the vanity top is actually overhanging and hollowed out with two handholds. Mm-hmm. Right. And that looks much more intentional and much more like a design decision.
Have you seen, I assume in your career, you've seen more and more of these come in?
For sure.
That's good news.
Yep.
Yeah, it's wonderful. My girls will be happy because I always say that they can't move me into an old folks home unless it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And there are none now.
You're delightfully shallow. I love that about you.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about the... How can he say that in front of you? It's the power of design. It makes your life better. You live an elevated life when you're in beautiful design.
Okay, you want to be surrounded by beauty. You're not, Charlie. You're a deep thinker.
That's exactly right. I recognize the power of design.
Josh, I'm really sorry I had to watch all this happen right in front of you. I want to thank you, though, for coming. It puts me in mind of, myself and my loved ones.
Yes.
And it's good to hear that, A, there's smart minds and entire companies thinking about it, and B, the manufacturers are starting to respond too.
Yes. So can you tell us where people can find you?
You can find us in Newton 3 days a week.
Okay.
And now in this post-COVID mode, tail end of COVID, we are working from home a couple of days. But our office is in Newton, right on the Charles River.
Say your name again. I said it, but you might do a better job.
So we are KMA.
Yes.
And I am Josh Safdie.
Wonderful. I did say that just in our defense, but thank you for reiterating. Do you have a website?
Yes, you can find us online too. We're www.kmaccess2c's2s's.com.
Wonderful. Thanks. You so much for coming.
Yes,
really interesting.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. If you want to learn more about S&H Construction, you can find us at shconstruction.com.
And if you want to learn more about my services, I'm at bruceirving.biz, B-I-Z.